There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill. If we'd known 10 years ago today would be 10 years from now, would we spend tomorrow's yesterday and make it last somehow? Would be the cheers in someone else's game and never learn to play.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance, along with Bean Fisher. I appreciate you joining us. Tonight we've got a entrepreneur, a conservative activist from Tennessee, and just an all-around great American, Lou Ann Zelnick. She's going to join us here in just a second. A little later on in the show, we're going to have Kathy Henners, who does the Daily Roll Call blog. The Tennessee Action Council is sponsoring this episode, and it's a newly formed organization, and our first mission is Project 2014, which is to get Amendment 1 passed on the ballot, so that the Tennessee Constitution will be neutral on abortion, so we can actually get some decent laws passed in this state. We're going to go to Lou Ann. Lou Ann, are you with us?
I am. Good evening, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm great. We are excited. It's going to take a lot of work from the good people in Tennessee to get 50% plus one vote on this amendment, and it'll be Amendment 1 to our Tennessee Constitution. It's a ballot initiative for 2014, and, you know, we have some amazing pro-life legislators in our state of Tennessee, and all their hard work has been for naught because of activist judges in the form of our state Supreme Court. So because of that, Tennessee has become one of those unique states where there's no notice, there's no parental notification, and we have many, many young girls coming across, and I consider 14- and 15-year-olds young, coming from Kentucky and Alabama, other states around us, to have quick abortions and with no waiting period or counseling or anything. And so this is something that in Tennessee, in order to put it back in the people's hands, we must get this vote out. This will not end abortion in Tennessee. Other states have much stronger laws than we do, but it will give us a little more chance to stop Tennessee from being the magnet, what they call the abortion destination state. What we're planning to do, one thing that I'm focused on for the next year and a half, is working with so many great people, and one of those individuals that's stepped up already, and she's been a longtime friend. I knew her son at Riverdale High School, and her son Chris and my daughter Carrie were great friends at Riverdale, but she's going to be jumping on in a minute. That what we've done on our website, Tennessee for Action, is we're already starting to build this base. And what you can do, if you're interested in being in one of the 95 counties of Tennessee, to help us get this vote out, and that's the most important thing. I want to see a big vote on the first day of early voting, and I want to see it every day through the early voting. I want to have our vote counts done, because this is something where even if people don't vote, don't want to vote, they're mad at politicians and everything else, they can certainly go to the polls and vote yes on one, yes on Amendment 1. So part of that will be we're going to have 95 counties, we're going to have people in each county. I would like to have between 5 and 10 main county leaders, like the Debbie Locks that's going to get on here in a minute, that will be able to reach out and want to reach out. And then go to the churches and talk with the pastors. In each of our churches, if you're willing to be a church leader for one of our counties, that would be great. You will be that motivator. You can easily go to our website, download the information for that. But most importantly, remind people, let's vote for life this time. Let's maybe save a life or two. And I think the stories that you will find along the way by becoming an activist for life, what a wonderful thing to stand up for the life. here in Tennessee.
Sent up the most, for the most innocent of life.
The most precious gift in your life. And if you've never been involved, what a way to get involved. To right the ship here in Tennessee. And I am finding it is so easy to go talk with groups. And I've already, asked people just to stand by. We're getting our website up. And I was in Macon County, and it was just like, can you help me? Can you help me from, Tennessee no longer being an abortion destination state? And, I mean, the hands flew up. So if you want the opportunity to get involved, go to our website, tell us your county, give us your email address. We don't let anyone have your information. But most importantly, we're going to unite across the state and really bring people to the polls to vote and get our churches registered. We saw a lot of people that were so aggravated with politics in 2012, and this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue. This is an issue. This is God's issue, and this is Tennessee's issue, and this is one we must take on and stand for. Our children to at least have consent notification, and we do not see, vans of young teenagers coming from Kentucky to have abortions in Franklin. I was I've already spoke with several of our Christian schools and colleges, and I know they're going to be jumping on the bandwagon, so we'll have team leaders from those. So if you're with a Christian school, or if you're with a private school, or you're with a bridge club, or you're with your garden club, anything, this is how we can move this message across Tennessee. And also, if you are active in your church, talk to your pastor off the bat, because pastors have that way of they're constantly reaching out to people. And as we get closer to early voting in 2014, that will be in July 2014, we're going to need all hands on deck. So there's going to be information to get out there. We will probably send out maybe one or two emails a month. We're not going to overload you, but it'll be information, and it'll be on issues that's important to get people to the polls. We may want you to put up a sign at your precinct for voting, yes on one, or to maybe call a neighbor and say, can I take you to the polls? So this is going to be a big monumental task. I want to set records at the polls this year. These are great goals, but if we can't stand up for our most innocent and for these young girls that are it's made so easy, and the ramifications that face years down the road is going to be tough. I have a good friend that he called me. It was ironic. He called me this morning, and he didn't know what all I was doing. And, he lives in another county. I hadn't really caught up with him on everything. And he was telling me about a teenage daughter in his church. And she went and met with her pastor. She'd gotten pregnant. And she was trying to make that tough decision. And I think something he said, for the rest of your life, you'll remember it if you make the wrong decision, but you'll remember it's the right. And he said he was looking over her at church, and this was about a year ago, and she was holding her baby and bouncing and just had such a look in her face. But that whole church community rejoiced around this young teenage girl who made a mistake. We love all people. And when you give them that love and know that there is hope, it's not hopeless, that there are people that will be there for you, it makes a big difference. And I think there's so many things that we can do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they need to know they have support. One thing, you mentioned numbers a minute ago, and you mentioned 50% plus one. And I know we talked about this a little bit last week with David Fowler, but I think this is really important, because if you were think back to when we first started this, this venture TAC in Project 2014, we heard from David Fowler. He kind of laid out the process. And he kind of stunned us when he told us that he didn't think it would pass as it stood right now. And mm-hmm. a lot of that has to do with, number one, most of the people are pro-life, so we just assume it's not going to be a hard task, but people don't understand necessarily the 50% one portion of it. Can you go into that a little bit?
Well, let's say, I'm just going to use numbers as an easy example. Let's say that we had 2 million people vote in the last governor's race, which was in 2010. Let's say 2 million people voted. So for this amendment to pass, we need to get 1 million and one vote. 1 million and one votes. Okay, let's say we had 2 million voted, and let's say in 2014 it's going to be down, and let's say we only get the people that vote no on Amendment 1 that are with the Supreme Court and judicial activism, let's say they get 200,000 and we get 900,000, we still lose. We have to have 1 million and one vote. Because to get this initiative to our Constitution, we have to have 50% of the vote plus one. That was a big election year. A lot of people were motivated. That was an active year. It was a governor's race. And so we had several candidates on the ballot. And it's going to be tough to get the votes. And that's what David's talking about. And there was a lot of energy going on. We had some major congressional races going on. A lot of people energized there as well. So I think we saw some longtime Democrats get defeated in 2010, one being Bart Gordon, 26 years incumbent. So we know that we've got a lot of votes to move and to get to the polls. So it's going to have to be reaching out to our pro-life groups in our counties, reaching out. We are all on the same team, uniting together, and we can make a difference here in Tennessee. It's shameful because some of our legislators, you know, I don't know, did you see the final vote count? It was phenomenal for this amendment. They, you know, they needed, what was it, like 76 votes in the House or something, and it was just, you know, very few votes, and all positive. But yet we can't do anything because our Supreme Court in Tennessee ruled certain protections for abortion that isn't even allowed in the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's a situation where we as Tennesseans have to be better than this. We have to make a difference, and we will do so. One of my goals, and I hate to ramble on, but one of my goals for this and to make it easy is to have our website be that tool for folks for interacting, for signing up and saying, I'm going to recruit 10 people and get those 10 people. And then you build these mini teams. And if we start building these teams now, we'll have them in place. I mean, I know it's a year from now, but we're going to be outspent 10 to 1. And we know that by the ones that the Planned Parenthood type groups that, you know, we've aborted a nation, and, you know, they will go at all costs for any sort of legislation that just makes, you know, a 14-year-old wait to maybe notify her mom and dad that there's problems, you know, and so I think that's a little to add.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the 50% plus one, that's something we have to continue to remind people of, that they have to get out. They have to fully understand what voting yes on one means. We want them to remember to vote yes on one and be able to explain why. Like we talked about last week, some of the language is a little confusing. So the sooner we get out there and explain it to people, you know, the less we'll have to spend, because we already know we're going to be outspent. So we have to get out there, and it sounds like you've got a good handle on the grassroots. Hey, I'm going to have to take a quick break here. I've got a little thing to read, and we're going to have to take a break, and then we'll come right back to you and take a few callers. Our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and Hanger Flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Central, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what Living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Conservative Nation Radio, Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. We've got Lou Ann Zelnick with us. Lou Ann, what have you done so far in the churches? Have you been to a lot of them, and what kind of reception have you got?
Tremendous reception, absolutely, and even have some of our schools on board and ready to move on whatever we need to do. I was kind of waiting for our website to get up. One thing that we're going to be focusing on as well is putting that information in, and that's one thing we're going to need team leaders in our counties to do is businesses. Many of our businesses will absolutely, they'll put a sign up on their wall with the logo, vote yes, and you can print the logo off our website. You can stick it on your business wall, and we will be adding dates as we get closer. It's a little further off, but, you know, we will be adding more information for our businesses. And so these are ways to kind of start introducing team leaders to do that and do that later on. These are the type of messages that we'll be sending out to our businesses next year as well to put up in their business on their wall or, you know, put some information on the counter where people check out. It's going to take a united effort across the board to bring people to the polls on this issue.
Yeah. Looking on the switchboard, Debbie's name just popped up, and I know she's been working with you on this. Let's go to her real quick.
She's an amazing person. I'm so glad she could call in. Great. Hi, Debbie.
Debbie, can you hear us?
Hi. Yes, I can. Hi, Luann. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Luann, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, Luann. I'm sorry. I called in because Luann asked me to share a little bit about what I've done at the grassroots level. I was in one of the chambers when they voted on SJR 127 back in 2011, and I was so moved at how much work had been put into this amendment, actually about 11 years worth of work, back and forth on the House and the Senate. And so when I found out that it was going to become an amendment, I thought I got to put my energy behind this. I'm an educator, so I have the summers off, and I started sitting down thinking about how I could present this to people in a way that would help them to understand. And so I basically set up four pieces of paperwork. I've made an introductory letter that I use for churches or civic groups or Bible studies or just my friends that basically tells them when they walk into the poll, they want to understand what that amendment says, because I don't know how many times I've done it, but I've walked in and there's some initiative or something on the ballot, and I really don't know what it means, so I don't know whether I should vote yes or no. So I want them to understand that. And David Fowler put together a beautiful two-page brochure that pretty much fully explains the statistics on it, but I know a lot of people don't want to read that much, so I found some information online and set up a one-page talking points page so that I could hand that to people, and they could just read it and have a basic idea of how the amendment came to be. And as Luann has said, and you've said several times, Dave, the fact that we need 50% plus one vote, I mean, that's highlighted. And actually the wording of the amendment is on that page so people can read over it. You know, so when they start getting questions from other people, they'll know what it says. They won't be fall prey to some of those, that false information that's going to come out. And then I had a friend who has a business in Smyrna, and she's owns a bookstore, and she asked for a poster. So I created a little poster that says, "Vote yes on 1 November 2014 election." And it has the amendment, and then it has at the bottom where you can gain some more information. And so I pass those pieces of information on to the Tennessee Action Council, and they have put them up on their website under Yes on One Tools. So I just want to let people know that it's basically that simple. You print off a few pieces of paper. I carry them around with me everywhere I go. If I'm in contact with somebody from a church, I ask them if they'll pass it on to their pastor. I've talked to Bible studies and friends and small groups. I think the small group idea in most churches would be a wonderful way, Luann, when you're talking about getting church groups together,
mm-hmm.
To have those small group leaders that are actually have real influence with people, because I think there's three spheres of influence we have. We have the people that we could just look at and say, you need to vote yes on one. They know us well enough, like they look at you, Luann, they go, sure, okay, because they know you've done the background work and that's all they care. They aren't interested in knowing more information for themselves. And there's the group of people, they want a little bit of information. You give them the one-page talking points. They understand it, and they're willing to move in. But then you have other people you have to convince. And so David's brochure is wonderful to show how those numbers of how we have 17,000 abortions a year compared to Mississippi that only has two. And why is that? And what can we do to amend our Constitution so that we can put back in place those common sense regulations that we had in the past, the 24-hour waiting period, the informed consent, and hopefully in the future even greater things like a limit of 20 weeks, the Unborn Child Pain Protection Act, things like that that we want to put back into our state, because we're basically a conservative state that believes that life begins at conception and that children in the womb deserve to be protected and that women deserve better than just to be run through a process and go through an abortion without really understanding the consequence of it. So that's what I've been doing, and Luann's let me participate with the Tennessee Action Council, and I just think it's a great place to go and get your resources.
Well, we appreciate
well, we
what
amazing.
You're doing.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yeah, I mean, you're really getting after it, and that's what it's going to take. And I want to go to another caller real quick. We've got Kurt on the line here. Kurt, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave. Excuse me, I wandered off into the fog there. You guys are doing a great job laying out the thing there on the abortion issue. And I don't know if now is the time to bring this in, but what I have on my mind, and maybe I should do this later, is to talk about abolish the IRS day in Jackson next Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what you're doing in Jackson. We can talk about it. I'll be there with my brochures if I can work it in.
I've got it right here. I was going to read it but I'll go ahead and read it now since you brought it up. It's right, abolish the IRS right. rally. Take a stand against corruption and tyranny. When? Noon Saturday. From noon till 1 p.m. on Saturday, June 29th, that's this Saturday, at Liberty Park, 24 Channing Way in Jackson, Tennessee. You turn east off of Highway 45 on Channing Way, 1 mile north of I-40, exit 80. Keynote speaker is State Representative Judd Matheny. Be there and bring a carload.
Well, Jim Matheny is a personal hero to all of us, and I certainly support him and all his endeavors, and you've got a good one there to be the keynote.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, Kurt, do you know of anybody that we could that would take on the grassroots job over in Henry County?
As a matter of fact, I think I probably have some candidates for that job. I know several of the people over here. The lady who, I don't know that she could take on much more of a workload, but the lady that manages the Tomorrow's Hope Pregnancy Crisis Center over here is a friend of mine.
That's perfect. And, that's the best. And that's what we're thinking about, Kurt, is, you know, if we can get you to get on our website and say, hey, I'm going to help recruit you some, put your name on there. We are all on the same team, and some of us have different issues. But this is a no-brainer. I mean, I know a lot of Democrats that are going to be helping because this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue. So we're hoping that it will ignite a firestorm here.
Good. Yeah. Good. Heard of anything
Cheryl
else?
Cheryl Connor is the director of that organization, and she's got a lot of friends that will be on board with her, Jack and Liz Pressy, and the names
don't
want to
give out names
right now.
That's okay. We don't want to commit them on the air yet.
Yeah, we'll definitely get back with you on that, Kurt.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Kurt.
All
right.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else, Kurt?
Mm-hmm. No, that's it.
All righty, appreciate it. We're gonna go online with Bing here real quick.
Okay.
Bing, are you with us?
Hey, Dave. Yeah, I think I am. Pinch me. See, I'm here. How you doing, Luann, Debbie?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm just helping Dave out here. He's got a great show. Spread the word. Spread the word around. He's doing a great job here.
Thank you.
Well,
Thank you.
It's the guest that makes the show. That's the key. That's what we need is good guests, and we've got them tonight.
It's the people of this great Tennessee that make it so easy for all of us to do our jobs to get this passed, and it's going to be up to all of you to do that.
Yeah, and what's great, too, is because I live over here in McMinnville, so I'm a Tennessean, too.
You're on McMinnville. Okay.
Yeah. Warren County, so that nursery goes more dirt than trucked out of here than I think any place else in the world. But it was great meeting you. I met you over at Lake County, the Reagan dinner over there. So
yes, wonderful time. No, we have so
working with Zach Pascovich over there.
Yeah. We had a great time, too, didn't we? I see this as an opportunity, working with a lot of our dinners and Republican Party events, and I'm going to head to the Democrat Party events, too, to try to get some Democrats on board on helping get the vote out yes on one. We'll see what happens. But I want to focus, building this team and being with a lot of people like you that know a lot of people that go to events And like Debbie said, you keep some of these flyers. You can print them off of your computer at home and keep them in your car and then go and say, can you get back? Will you go sign up, And I'm going to be doing a letter to the site incorporating some thoughts that you can print off as well, because I think it's really important to frame our message and keep it simple. People want to make it difficult and confusing, and we're not going to allow that to happen.
Oh, well, great. Make sure, Dave, that we get all this stuff, all this information, so that we get, websites and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
So we can disseminate.
I'm
going
to give you one right now to go sign up on tn4action.com. TN, the letter 4, so it's easy. You don't have to spell 4 out. It's tn4action.com. And you can sign up there for Warren County and say, I'm going to help recruit, 5 or 10 people and get them to sign up, and we're just starting to build this. To get that information out, so then when we get closer to early voting next year, we'll be ready to roll. About 2 months out from early voting, really the push will be on.
Well, great. Yeah, and I'll post that over on the site that I administrate, which is traditionalamericanmovement.com, and we'll get some of those links going on over there too. So
that would be perfect.
That
would be great. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
All right.
It's my pleasure.
My pleasure, too. Good to talk with you.
Same here.
All right, we've got to take another break here real quick. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the left on the LifeLock banner.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood of the Stones for Rad. You know it's okay to rock and roll and party, because I do it all the time. Just let someone else do the driving. That's what I do. Remember, rock lives, and you should too. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. A new Gallup poll shows that half of the country's voters would like to see legislation requiring publicly funded campaigns. Nearly 80% also said that they would back limits on how much congressional candidates can raise in campaign cycles. The Supreme Court announced today that it will hear a challenge to President Obama's move last year to appoint 3 people to the National Labor Relations Board while the Senate was on break. Obama has argued that the appointments were made while the Senate was in a pro forma session. However, a federal appeals court ruled back in January that the appointments came while the Senate was in recess. In a statement, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he welcomed the court's decision to hear the case. McConnell and the rest of the Senate GOP caucus are supporting the challengers. And the Center for Economic and Policy Research says Ecuador should grant asylum to NSA leaker Edward Snowden. The think tank says Snowden is a whistleblower, not a traitor. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Yeah, and welcome back to, which show am I on?
Inside Tennessee, Conservative Nation Radio. Inside Tennessee. Sponsored by Tennessee Action Council.
There we go. The number is 718-305-7176 if you want to call in.
Now, Debbie, what part of the state are you calling from?
I'm from the Murfreesboro, Rutherford County area.
Okay, so pretty much same area as her. But you guys have kind of divvied up the territory a little bit, and you're working the different areas?
I think Luann's territory is the whole state of Tennessee, right?
Pretty much.
You know, I have friends in pretty much, I've been to, you know, one of the initiatives I've been heavily involved in is Tennessee Freedom Coalition, and having been to now 78 of the counties for that group, we're going to be starting to reach out to recruiting people to be on this initiative with Tennessee Freedom Coalition. And like Dean was talking about, he said, you know, I'll get this group to start promoting it. And that's how we can kind of join up with our different databases to send out an email message to Tennessee Freedom Coalition. So
yeah,
Debbie has done a phenomenal job. And I know we have a lot of pasture groups. Debbie, didn't you go down to Coffee County, though? You went to Coffee County and met with some pastors, didn't you?
Well, I went to a Bible study in Manchester, and there were men from 5 different churches represented there. So in one Bible study, I was actually able to get the information to 5 different churches in that area. That's why I said small groups, Bible studies, like Luann's civic groups, because what you're gathering is these groups of people that have spheres of influence that they can take that back out to. So I've told Luann, I'll just handle Murfreesboro. I have a list of about 25 churches so far, and out of those, I've made direct contact with 15 of them. And, you know, so that's 10 more over the summer that will be pretty easy to make contact with, and then we'll follow up next summer to see how they've followed through on what we've given them.
Right. The main thing is that keeping that list, like I talked about, keeping that information. And so anybody out there recruiting, you need to have a little book with your papers and write down their name and email, add them to the list, and put them under your, you know, your group to add to the database. So that helps keeping us, you know, to give that little note out, don't forget, you know, voting, early voting starts. So this is how we build it, and but we're going to need to be able to communicate, to involve them. We work on our Tennessee Action Council board. We have both David Fowler and Bobby Petray as advisors, and those are two huge leaders in our state that have just been out front totally on this. And I know Bobby is something in the legislature. She just represents so much of the pro-life and Tennessee Eagle Forum, a tremendous group of what she has done on influence and pro-life legislation here in Tennessee has been phenomenal. So,
Luann, let me step in here just a second. We've talked about what you're doing and what we intend to do, but, you know, the other side is not going to just step back. And so what, other than spending a lot of money, what are some of the other things that we can expect from them? What are the distortions that we can expect them to throw at us on this issue?
They're going to say, oh, this will end abortions and little girls will die because we're not going to allow them to have, they'll be high-risk pregnancy. They're going to say that we're restricting women's rights when we're protecting women, we're protecting young girls. I think it's probably one of the most powerful statements made by a pastor to a teenage girl deciding whether or not to have an abortion is there will be that moment, and that this is such a life-changing moment for you because, you know, 80 years from now, when you're taking your last breath, if you have this abortion, this is what you will think of as you take that last breath. So I think that influence, people often forget, it's not just a life, but it's a woman's life that is changed just doing it as well. And so the regrets that they make and the trauma that they have later on and the thoughts that go through their mind, I wish I had not. And I think it's that because we stand up for women and we stand up for the unborn. And I think no one can possibly think anything other than, yes, this is a positive thing for Tennessee. This is a positive thing for young women that they will not, you know, have any waiting period. You know, the fact that they would have a waiting period, would want to talk to their parents or guidance in their church community, or, you know, or just, you know, an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent. And that's where we are. I had the privilege of meeting at New Hope Church when we had the kickoff for the Vote Yes on One in over there in Brentwood, of a gentleman from over in Franklin, and he was just about in tears, and something had really moved him. He said, I was where an out-of-state vehicle had pulled up, and it had some young women in it, and a gentleman had followed the vehicle, out-of-state vehicle as well, and he was in tears as his daughter was going in, and he said, this is something I did not want. But she's doing it anyway, she's in there aborting my grandchild. And I thought, wow, how a powerful way a message my grandchild. Because this affects not only moms and dads, but grandparents too.
Yeah. And the thing too, you know, on our side, there's some people that are, you know, very, very pro-life, and they're going to read this amendment. And since it makes reference, the way it's worded can be a little confusing. But what it basically does, it pitches it back to the legislature / the people, through their legislature.
But
when they read it, some people might say, well, wow, this is making some sort of exception for life or health of the mother. And no, it doesn't do that. It actually makes it neutral. It means everything, you go back to square one. It is totally, it totally neutralizes the Tennessee Constitution on this issue. So what you get after this is passed is what you can get your legislature to pass. You know, hopefully it's pro-life legislation. But I think we're going to have, there's going to be some confusion on both sides, and we just need to make sure they thoroughly understand this amendment and know why they need to vote yes on it.
I think that is good. That's an excellent point. And, you know, there's on the website on, I think it was on David's, which we put on TN4Action as well, the myths about the amendment. It will ban abortions in Tennessee fall. The amendment needs to contain exceptions for incest and rape, or to say that false. The amendment will put, and it says why. And basically, like you said, it puts it back in the hands of our legislators. And it puts it out of the hands of an unelected judicial activist group called our state Supreme Court. And back into the hands of the people of Tennessee and to make that decision. And we are not California. We are Tennessee. Thank goodness we're not.
And that's, you know, that's important, too. Go ahead, Debbie. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to jump in for a minute about putting us out of step with other states. Also, 32 states have no right to abortion, and yet they judge that our Constitution says a woman has an inherent right to an abortion, which therefore says that funding should go towards those abortions. And if you look at the states around us, if you look at Kentucky and Alabama and Mississippi, they already have all these common sense regulations in place. That's why the girls are coming across the line. I think it was probably a very strategic lawsuit brought, because as groups that benefit from abortion looked, our borders, we border so many states, that if they could tear down the walls in Tennessee, all these people would cross the borders into Memphis, from Alabama up into Nashville, down from Kentucky. And so if we can bring back those common sense regulations, if we just brought our numbers from 17,000 down to what Alabama has, every year we would save 1,614 babies. That's a lot of lives. And beyond that, if we could bring our numbers down to what Mississippi has some of the best regulations and a pro-life governor in place, we could bring those numbers down by 8,000 a year per 1,000 women. So, I mean, it's just pretty incredible what those regulations do as far as serving women and saving lives in Tennessee.
Wow.
That's an excellent point. I have the statistics here, and this is based on 2009. And mm-hmm. in Tennessee, there were 17,474 abortions. Yet in Mississippi, there were 2,438. In Kentucky, 4,120. In Arkansas, 4,580. And then in Alabama, 10,882. And I anticipate Alabama, haven't they gotten some new, stronger legislation since 2009?
Mm-hmm.
I anticipate Tennesseans to break the 20,000 mark, while little Mississippi will be in the 2,000 mark, because we make it easy. You get in the car, you drive over here, you don't have to tell anybody, and you have an abortion. And this can affect our young girls, women's life for the rest of their lives.
Going to have to take a break here. Little read for you. Join Delaware political veteran Christopher Manti every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show at its new time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which could really be called eponymous, Fridays at 5 p.m., Eastern, 4 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
If you love America, you're among friends here. conservativenationradio.org.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, rdlantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm Dave Vance. I'm your host. This show is brought to you by Tennessee for Action. We've got Lou Ann Zelnick on the line, and we're talking about passing Amendment 1 in 2014. Lou Ann, what is the next big event? Do you have something lined up anytime soon, any events in your area?
No, I do not. We are currently focusing on just building the database and talking with folks, but there are some events planned for September. We will be giving you those dates later on, and right now I'm just trying to recruit and talk to as many people, get them signed up, and then start focusing on everywhere we go to make use of it, to stop at a store. Often I'll have a two-hour drive across Tennessee, and I try to always leave a little early to run by maybe a Republican Party headquarter and drop off some information or, you know, somebody's office. I think using our legislators in Tennessee will be a great, huge factor that will help us push it over the top so that everyone who, you know, that I will be contacting everyone who voted for SJR 21, won't we, Debbie?
Yeah.
With all this information, and then they can send out to their email base. So we're going to be using this to really move the message, and then as we move closer, we will have, you know, if you have a lot of events, we're going to have some, I think, some business partnerships as well, businesses that are, you know, I was listening to your commercial on supporting conservative businesses, and I have been doing that for years. I will, you know, even pay more and shop at a conservative business and support them. So I think this is our time for conservative businesses to step up, like Debbie was talking about in your commercial, and see if a lot of them will, pro-life businesses, step up and say, hey, count us in. We're going to help you.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I hope
can you imagine during early voting, everybody that comes in, you know, a lot of times you'll see a little card. You could hand them a card. Everybody that checks out of the business, you give them a little card, go vote yes for Amendment 1, and here's the polling place nearby. You know, that's my vision to see when we get an early voting next year.
Well, I'm sure between now and then we can do some signs and some bumper stickers. Once again, this is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. The number to call in is 718-305-7176 on Conservative Nation Radio. Bing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You said something earlier, but you have some connections in that area as well. In McMinnville, you know some pastors, and you know some other people who are strongly pro-life, and probably some businesses as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I got some people in mind, and I'm going to be doing meeting with the Warren County Republican Party up here pretty soon, just so that we can have, you know, the first, so we can have a meeting with Speaker Joe Carr to be up there to speak on some issues and so on. So I'm trying to work that in, and if I can, you know, I'll get some of this literature and have it available at their meeting so that we can get a move on this.
You know, there's all kinds of different things out there. You've got your GOP meetings, Tea Party meetings, 912 meetings, you name it, and all of those would be a place that we could have Lou Ann or Debbie or the local reps, whoever they might be, come in and, and talk about Amendment 1 and why we need to pass it and what we need to do to pass it. And pro-life businesses, I would think, too, would be willing to, you know, just a little sticker, vote yes on Amendment 1. If nothing else, people will start asking about it.
I think that our next step, Dave, is to, you know, when we get our people starting to sign up, you know, getting them to send them a sticker. And I think that's a really good step for the car and make something unique. You know, Debbie designed a great logo, and we want to just make sure that we are consistent with the other groups as far as our logo and make sure that's agreeable with everyone. Just, we want to keep the symbolism the same, the logo the same. Okay. Hey, Dave, why don't you tell a little bit, you and your wife headed the pro-life group up there, and you're on Tennessee Action Council. I have a vision Dave will be on a lot of different counties up toward the northern end of our state, too, as well.
Well, yeah, my wife's the head of Tennessee Right to Life in Stewart and Houston County. Yeah, a small group, but they work hard, and they attend most of the events and
amazing
get the literature
women
out. And, you know, the thing is, I know she gets frustrated because every event they go to, people are like, hey, you're doing a great job, and we appreciate you, and wow, I didn't know this, and you got so much information. But, you know, it's like everything else, you still only end up with a few people pulling the wagon. So hopefully on this one we can get more people to pull the wagon, or at least advertise that the wagon is coming to town. You know.
Mm-hmm. I know we are blessed to have leaders like that. We have the same across our state. It's really strong pro-life groups. But like you say, you know, they'll have a great breakfast or a fundraiser once a year. But when it comes to the other times, a lot of people are, you know, they're really busy. And it's hard to, they don't make enough time. And then it seems like it always falls into the hands of a few. And that's what we're going to, we really, on this one, we need to pull together as a state and on this one and be a team, major team.
Right. Well, I imagine that at this IRS rally in Jackson this Saturday from 12 to noon at Liberty Park on Channing Way, off Highway 45, 1 mile north of I-40, exit 80, with the keynote speaker of State Representative Judd McNee, I imagine we could probably get some information out there.
I do believe we can.
Yeah, at 12 to noon is going to be a short meeting, though.
Well, but you can get information.
I think that's what you said, Dave.
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm sorry, 12 to 1. I apologize.
12 to 1. There we go.
Well, that night I'm supposed to be in White County. I was going to attend White County, and I know several pastors there that are personal friends that I was going to be dinner with one of them next Saturday night in White County, and planned on giving out some information there, taking it with me as well, and getting them to move forward. So we just have that opportunity of, you know, as many events.
And you're going to be in White County when?
I believe it's called, what's it called? It has another type name. They have in their dinner. It's their annual Republican dinner in White County, Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Steve Gill is speaking. Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Good deal.
And
yeah,
I have several. Yeah, there's some good people. Amos Reagan was the chair down there, and good person, and I'm going to be speaking with him as well. He's one of my, he was past party chair, but he will certainly be helping. And then I'm going to be reaching out to Chris Thomas and his beautiful wife, Crystal and Kristen, up in Pickett County as well. I hope to see them there. And there's several people that can be key people.
If you're just joining us, this is Dave Vance with Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Our dial-in number is 718-305-7176. We have Lou Ann Zelnick on the line from Tennessee Action Council, and we're talking about what we're going to do to get Amendment 1 passed in 2014.
You know,
Go ahead, Lou.
And, you know, Rand Paul has that heartbeat amendment in the Senate Do you ever think there'll ever be a chance, even with a Senate majority, for something like the heartbeat bill to pass?
I don't know. That's hard. But you know, with the technology, you know, the ultrasounds, that made a lot of difference for a lot of people to actually see it. So, you know, it could. And if you go back to what the Supreme Court said in Roe v. Wade, if they ever determined that, you know, when life began, they would have to relook the whole thing. So it's possible. It's possible. Even the younger people are becoming more pro-life.
I think the Gosnell situation, the Gosnell horror chambers, and people were so phenomenal over the top in their comments, and then we learn of more and more up east and in Texas, and that this is going on across our country. I think even some of the biggest advocates for choice have changed their position. You know, it's easy to not know the truth, and that's one reason the mainstream media didn't cover it as much, because they knew there'd be huge backlash, and they put babies in politics. And
yeah, you know, it was terrible that it... Go ahead, Deb.
I just wanted to jump in for a minute on the ultrasound issue, because there are more and more mobile ultrasound units getting out there. Rather than waiting for the abortionists to show those pictures, there are Christian organizations putting those mobily on the ground. In Memphis, there are two of them right now on the ground, and they're showing statistically that 88.9% of the women that see their baby make a choice for life. That's astounding statistics. That's almost 9 out of 10 women. If they're given the opportunity to see their child in the womb, they will change. These are abortion-minded women. So I agree. I think that as a church, we need to be out there on the forefront and not waiting to legislate that and ask someone else to do it, but to say this is a way to show women and change their hearts so that they make the right choice, like Luann says, and don't live the rest of their life with regret, but live knowing that they made a choice to give life to another human being.
And how do we know we don't have a Gosnell situation here in Tennessee? I mean, who really checks in Tennessee? Do you know? I mean, there could be one. We just haven't heard about it yet.
Right. We just haven't heard about it. Now, I thought one of the most amazing bills was a bill that Bobby had asked me to sponsor in the Senate, and it was the requiring that the abortion clinics be able to have the doctor being able to, you know, take a, let's say, one of the patients, one of the women is in trouble and needs to go to a hospital, have hospital rights to work at the, take the baby, to take the woman to the hospital. And in doing so, that literally shut down the clinic in Knoxville. Yeah. Are the mobile units located in Memphis, Debbie?
Where are they located? They work out of the clinic that's in Covington. I'm going over there July 1st to actually see the unit on the ground. I was so impressed with the concept, and I wanted to see how it actually functioned. They are the most efficient affiliate of this one particular group that puts the ones out there. It's called Confidential Care. It's in Covington, just north of Memphis. And they were so effective that their donors purchased another unit for them, so they actually run two units at a time. And they alternate between shopping centers, the abortion clinics, college campuses where these girls would be, you know, when they're out during the day and they suspect or they know they're pregnant and they're thinking or have already determined to have an abortion, but this is a free ultrasound, so they take that chance. And they have beautiful pictures of babies that have been saved, you know, just from the mother seeing.
Well, I would love to, if you're making a trip to Memphis, I would love for you to kind of write that up as a story, on that. I think that is phenomenal, because that is something to share with, you know, so many others as far as just the waiting time, to take the time.
And if Amendment 1 passes, there will be more and more women searching out other alternatives, because abortion won't be as easy a fix to what they consider a problem.
And so I think that this is a time for us to really press into things like that, where we make ourselves available for those women.
And, you know, the most important thing is to pray and hold them tight and love them and know that we are with them. And many women want to give their babies up for adoption. And I know there's a lot of loving parents that have been waiting years mm-hmm. for a baby. So give that baby a chance.
Yes.
Debbie and Luann, appreciate you being with us. Our time's just about up for this hour, and really appreciate it. And we'll have you back on the show. Appreciate what you're doing, and look to forward to hearing from you. And I'm sure we'll have an event before too long, and hopefully we'll fill it up and get the people informed on this issue. So thanks for being with us. We're going to go to a break now. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee. I'm your host, Dave Vance, on Conservative Nation Radio. This show is brought to you by Tennessee Action Council. For the second hour, our guest is Kathy Henners. Kathy, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Kathy is a retired detective from upstate New York, and I think she kind of has a second career of blogging. She does a daily roll call blog, and she actually still goes around and trains law enforcement officers that realize that they need some training when it comes to dealing with the Islamist infiltration. Is that accurate, Kathy?
That's true. And actually, I was patrol for my 20 years. And then the last few years, I decided to be a liaison officer with our intelligence group. But, yeah, I still train law enforcement across the country. Of course, this administration is trying to shut this particular type of training down, so it's getting more and more difficult, especially here in Tennessee. They're being trained by the wrong people. They're being trained by the Islamists, unfortunately. So we'd like to see if we can get some training going on for Tennessee law enforcement. So hopefully by the end of this, maybe they'll say, well, we need this training.
I hope. I think there was somebody a couple years ago, it wasn't you, but there was another agency that in Rutherford County that did some good training, which was followed mm-hmm. by some Islamist-led state-approved training that nobody who was serious that attended thought was worth their time, from what I understand. Anyway, you know quite a bit about how the Islamists are infiltrating. And, you know, those of us who read your blog, the Daily Roll Call, great blog, by the way.
Thank you.
and you talk a lot about the Muslim Brotherhood, but there's another group here in Tennessee that I think we need to talk about a little bit, and there's a, mm-hmm. a compound. Now, most people, if you listen to Fox News, you've heard about the 35 or 36 terrorist training camps across the country. And I live close to one out here, in, by Dover. And they're known as the Muslims of America and or Jamaat al-Fuqara, and I'm not quite sure of the relationship there, but I understand you know quite a bit about this. So if you could tell us a little bit about the MOA and their relationship with Jamaat al-Fuqara, or if it is the same, and as far as their funding and known terrorist or criminal activity.
Okay. Unfortunately, I do know quite a bit about Jamaat al-Fuqara and the Muslims of America. Where I'm from, upstate New York, we had a training compound. Actually, it's the headquarters for this group in Hancock, New York. And I was able to visit there 3 times, not allowed to get in any of those times, but had conversations with different residents that did live there. From what I understand, Dover is exactly the same thing. Basically, what it is Jamaat al-Fuqara is the name of the organization which the founder is part of. He is Sheikh Mubarak Jalali. It sounds Italian almost, but he's from Lahore, Pakistan. He is the head of this Jamaat al-Fuqara, which then he's kind of like the umbrella organizations for the Muslims of America and then the International Open Quranic University. With both of those have religious overtones, so therefore they use those to go kind of undetected with the IRS, but yet they're considered to be religious training compounds or religious compounds. So that's kind of how they get away with doing what they do. They're listed as a religious entity, so therefore nobody wants to bother them, especially law enforcement. Nobody's going to do that. So I think they're most well-known for the beheading of Daniel Pearl, if anybody remembers that. He was the New York Times reporter that went to meet specifically Mr. Jalali to get a story from him. At that time, he was ambushed, and then, as everyone knows, Daniel Pearl was beheaded by this particular group. The shoe bomber Richard Reed and the Beltway snipers, the Washington snipers, also have had connections to Jamaat al-Fuqara. So their terrorist activity in this country, it goes back to the 80s, where they were responsible for firebombings and some robberies. They actually shot and killed a police officer in California. So they have a lot of activity under their belt, but they have been laying low in that respect for several years now. They've gotten more into the business of paramilitary training, and that's what these compounds consist of. They let Al-Qaeda do the violent work, and then they stick to the training for whenever the call is to rise, to take over, or whatever they plan to do. But their goal is specifically to purify Islam through violence. So it is not a nice group. It is not a religious group. It is a terrorist organization. But we look at those names like the Quranic Open University, and we think, well, they're just studying the Quran, and that's what they lend you to believe, that in fact that they do, which they don't. They are predominantly made up of American-born Muslims, predominantly African-Americans, who are converted or what they call reverted in prisons. And what I mean by reverted is they believe that everyone was born a Muslim and then becomes an apostate and leaves that religion and goes off to whatever religion you belong to and eventually will revert back to being a Muslim. So that's where most of their community members come from, would be prisons across this country. You want to get into funding or? Yes.
Yeah, but real quick, all of the 35 or 36 camps we've heard about, are they all confirmed MOA/Jamaat al-Fuqara, or do we know for sure?
Yes, they are. There's 36 currently known of these compounds. Like I say, headquarters is in New York. There's one in Dover. There's 2 in Virginia. They're scattered all over the country. There's been activity just about in every state, but the training compounds are scattered throughout. 36 training compounds that we know of, Jamaat al-Fuqara, which means community of the impoverished. And what I can tell you is basically they live in squalor, just from being able to get partially into Islamburg up in New York. I can tell you that it is it's a pigsty. It's dirty. There's trailers. They basically don't live very well. And the number of community members is astonishing. At Islamville, at the high point, there's probably 200 to 300 people living as residents. And they have been here for a long time, probably established 20, 30 years ago. So they've been around for a long time.
Wow. We're going to have to take a break here in a minute. Before we, it is. You know, it's scary around here because, you know, living close by, a lot of people are like, well, you know, we've never had any problems with it. They seem so nice. I live close to them, mm-hmm. no issues. But they don't understand the mentality behind it. They don't understand Takiyah or any of those other things. So it is scary. And then there's others who are leery. But, you know, they're still here and still a concern. We're going to take a break in just a second. But before we do have a caller on the line. I'll pull them on here, and then we'll after that, we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about the funding.
Okay.
Who do we have on the line here?
Hey, guys. This is Smith Fix, Chuck Smith out of Crowley, Texas. I am a prepper. Thank you very much. guys, we're worrying too much. Every time I hear the Muslim thing, I'm like, come on. Can we really not see through this? Your government is the enemy. If they're making compounds, aren't the Christians? Check out the Great American Readout. There are Christian communities making compounds and doing firearms training as slyly as they can because they know they're going to be attacked immediately. But really, are these people really a threat to us? Take a look at them.
Do you think they're not?
Not really. No, I don't. Because, like you say, it makes you uncomfortable that they're there. But have they kicked in your door lately? Have they decided that for whatever specious reason they want to hack your email? Have they attacked you? How about they're just realizing, first off, they have been under attack by the United States government for so long, used as the bugaboo to scare you for so long that they feel threatened. Can you blame them?
I will just say that, you know, I've never had a neo-Nazi do anything to me either, but does that mean I shouldn't be concerned about them?
Right.
Why would you be? As long as they're not violent, they can have
I'm surprised coming from Texas
thoughts.
That you have this mentality. Let me finish. Your state is loaded with Muslim Brotherhood and other organizations, so maybe you need to come out of your prepper hole there and start looking around. Because perhaps when you do, you're going to need a burqa and a Quran next to you.
You are throwing ad hominem attacks. Don't you sound like the liberal press whenever you do that?
Listen,
how about we talk about
there's nothing liberal
here?
About me.
All right, hey, bye-bye. Oh, well, there's one in every crowd.
Oh, there's one in every town. That's all right. But from Texas, you know, I was just there in Dallas last
week.
I
sounded like a transplant. He didn't sound like he was originally from Texas. I could be wrong.
Nah.
That's not the impression I got. So. All right, I've got a little business to take care of. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled.
Yeah.
Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TRADAM is a liberal free website, and we, by the way, are a liberal free organization. You're with Inside.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
You must be your fairy godmother?
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor, because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. And the number here is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And Dave, just before we get into it, somehow that when somebody calls up a show to me and says, hey, I'm a prepper, and they're calling a show and they're, you know, talking on this show, I have a problem with it. I just find that absolutely funny. Because if you're a prepper, you're not going to announce it. It's like me saying, hey, I own this gun and that gun and that gun. You know, I mean, I'm not going to do that, you know.
He's not a very well-prepped prepper, I would say. At least not for that prep. So, well, we're Kathy Henners. We still have Kathy Henners with us.
Yeah.
And I want to get back to the discussion of MOA a little bit. That's the Muslims of America / Jamaat al-Fukra. How do they typically fund themselves? You mentioned a minute ago that they generally live in run-down places, to say the least.
They do. They're a very wealthy organization. Muslims of America and the Open Quranic Society are both nonprofit organizations, so their scrutiny is certainly less than most of us. But they get funding from so many different sources. First of all, their members that live on these compounds have an agreement that in order to live there, they sign over to the community any and all earnings that they may make at another job. Most of them do work outside of the community. I know that the one in Dover is located 12 miles from Fort Campbell. And this is something that they strategically do. I'm sorry?
It's a little further than that. It's a little further than that, but maybe not for the back 40 area. It's probably, but as far as the main post, it's a little further. But, yeah, they're close by, and, of course, there's a TVA close by.
I was going to say, there's a power supply company there around there too, right? So their areas are very strategic too. The one in New York, which is kind of funny, that it's located on 70 acres, but it is surrounded by what's called the Cannondale Reservoir, which is New York City's main water drinking supply, and they're surrounded by these places. So they pick them strategically, but the members do contribute everything that they make back to the community. And then again, Jamaat al-Fukra has ties with Hamas and Hezbollah, which we all know comes back to the Muslim Brotherhood. So we know that the Muslim Brotherhood pays for a lot of the training to take place, not only in the community, but they will take the members from that community and bring them to Pakistan for further training, which would include bomb, you know, training and things like that. Probably the bulk of their training comes from white-collar crimes. They're big into tax fraud and ID fraud and any type of financial fraud. They are very much into those. But they also run, they've been known to run drugs, particularly khat, which is specific to the Middle Eastern community. And then if they run what's called a hawala, which is a financial transfer system, which is illegal in this country, but they do. So when we get to talk about what to look for in these stores, a hawala would be, it's like a Western Union for Middle Easterners or for their organizations.
So this is where the money comes from, and it's big money. And yes, they do live in squalor, but that's part of it, you know. That's part of living on this compound. So the funding is there, and if they need the funding, they can reach out to Hamas or Hezbollah, which I know people are like, you know, all of these things that we're talking about, you know, they're over in the Middle East. Well, no, they're not. Hamas and Hezbollah has their headquarters in Chicago, Illinois. So we're talking major terrorist organizations with their headquarters in all of our states and training compounds in a lot of our states. So for anyone to think
that it isn't here. I wonder if they know our community organizer. I wonder if they knew that community organizer.
Probably. When he first said the government thing, I was like, oh, this guy's smart. But then, you know, we went downhill in a hurry. So, but the funding, the money is there big time, but they're recruited in prisons. And then they promise them a really good life specific to their religion, that they'll become a better father, a better son, a better man, you know, by coming to this compound. And there's also an element of women that reside at these compounds as well. I just happened to catch when I went on one of my visits to Islamberg, it was Women's Weekend, and they were there specifically for training is what I was told, but they didn't want to talk about what type of training. They led me to believe it was more of a religious-type training. So there's a lot of issues in these communities, and unfortunately, people say, I do live close by there, and they aren't a threat. Well, you're right, but who they're affiliated with, the organizations themselves, are the threat. It may not be what they're doing inside the compound. It's who they hang out with, if you will, who they play with. And that's a very telling and very disturbing thing.
Let me ask you something real quick. When you went up to Islamberg, here's what I've noticed around here. The women, they wear the traditional garb. The men, you couldn't, unless they occasionally wear one of the little hats, other than that, you couldn't tell. I mean, they dress just like us. I don't know if it was the same way up there in Islamberg. Another thing, too, you mentioned money. You mentioned funding. Somebody told me a story that was here in this area when they moved in 20-some years ago, and that when they came in and built their compound, that when they would go to these local hardware stores and lumber stores, they paid all in cash. And so the owners of these businesses were like, hey, these people are great. You know, they're friendly and they pay in cash. I think that actually, unfortunately, kind of, kind of jaded a lot of people around here to the prospect that they might not be as nice as they seem. They may not have overall nice intentions.
Well, what's funny, in the area of Islamberg, now I have yet to been to Islamville. I am working on that because I need a field trip, so I'm open to going there. Islamberg, however, was located in a very oppressed area. It was in a county that just did not have resources. It was very poor. So when I spoke to members of the community in the city itself, they said that as long as they brought the money in, basically they didn't care. So that also goes with it. If you have a smaller town that they're losing the resources, their businesses are leaving, of course they're going to welcome a community that has money. So it's very difficult to turn that money down, but we have to start looking at where the money is coming from. That's the disturbing part. So I don't know how large Dover is, but I would
imagine.
No, about
1,500 people roughly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what they do.
The county is only about 13,000. We're going to take a call here real quick. This is Dave Vance on Inside Tennessee. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And Kurt's been holding for a while. We're going to let him get in on this.
Okay.
Kurt, have you got any questions for Kathy?
No, I'm not really. I'm just kind of sitting here taking in the things that she's been telling me there. She pointed out some things that I really wasn't clued in on there about these camps. Good information there. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're not a prepper, Kurt. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Hey, Kathy, anything else on the funding?
No, but again, you know, while I always say follow, particular for law enforcement, I always say follow a money trail, but it is difficult at some point because a lot of it is done in cash. And that should speak volumes for a community that is poor or gives the appearance of being poor, where they come up with this cash. And they do have large amounts of cash, and that comes from organizations that we know are terrorist organizations. So that's where their funding comes from. Very hard to find. Very hard to actually grab onto that unless you have the means like the FBI or JTTFs or some of your federal law enforcement agencies. But it is possible for local law enforcement to grasp some of these things, and later on we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Bing, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I want to say, I mean, there's really nothing wrong with being a prepper. It's just that, you know, you don't sit there and if you're a true prepper, you don't advertise it. You know, it's like all these people on the TV and so on that, you know, that are out there and they're giving away their addresses and so on that they're prepping.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, you got some serious problems because when the stuff hits the fan and that you're trying to prep for, people are going to be at your house first. That's like, you know.
Yeah, if you know the guy down the street's really prepped well, you don't have to prep as well.
That's true.
These soft zones and so on, you know. I mean, just, you know, that's why we have problems, because the criminals know that they can go into a movie theater that doesn't allow weapons in and doesn't allow people that have CCWs or concealed carry permits into the theater. And
yeah.
I had another question for Kathy. Is that Dearborn, Michigan is just like filled with Muslims and so on.
Yeah.
And I read a lot about that. And Henry Ford was so anti-Semitic, and from what I read, anyways, I just wanted your take on that. Is that I've heard that he just wanted these people to work for him. Just, you know, to build, and he built up these towns over there and so on, and it's depressed. I mean, I've been up there. It's scary stuff, man. This looks like something out of World War III, Detroit. People are, you know, Dearborn, Detroit. If people are sitting there listening, I got nothing against people in Detroit and Dearborn, but man, it's depressing.
Well, Dearborn, I say, is finished as far as Sharia law and the Islamic presence there. You know, like we have, I just got this question the other day. Well, we have Chinatowns and Little Italies and, you know, little pockets of communities like that. So what's the difference with it, you know, being Muslims? Well, the only problem is that when you get to their areas, specifically in Dearborn, they enforce Sharia law. They won't let you through with any article of Christian clothing or any other religion. If you have a cross, they demand that that cross be taken off before you walk into their neighborhood. So there's a big difference. You know, your other communities, your Chinatowns and things like that, they're just there to offer their goods and products and services and as a fun type community to walk through. Where up in Dearborn, Michigan, they mean business. You will not go through there unless you comply with Sharia law. And so I'd say Dearborn is probably one of the biggest cities so far that we have lost to Islamists, you know, the Islamists, which is scary. It's still the United States of America, but it's happening. So
it's because they don't want to assimilate. They don't want, you know, they want to kill us, really. You know, and we have the same problem with the illegal the Mexicans coming over and so on. They have no, they don't care about being citizens of the United States. A lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, okay, but a lot of them, they don't care about assimilating. You know, so
no, and we're finding the Somali population. Your Somalis are probably the worst when it comes to assimilating. They are not following our laws. You know, we have a large concentration here in Shelbyville. I'm sure you guys are familiar with what's happening there. And it is just a community that is from a third world country that has no desire to learn. As a matter of fact, we know that depression is rampant in these communities because the elders, they don't want to be here. And they're being forced to come here by this government. Catholic Charities is bringing them here. Of course, there's nothing Catholic or charitable about that organization. But they're bringing them here in droves because they're protected here and they see them as being in grave danger in their own country. But it's really difficult because the assimilation, what we're finding is that, and this is kind of gross, but I'll just tell you this real quick. What we know that they're doing in a lot of communities is that they'll build, they'll dig a hole in their backyard and they'll use that as their toilet. And then later on in the day, they'll cook on that same hole because that's what they do in their own country. So our health laws here are right out the window. And they work for Tyson Chicken too. So, you know, if you want to eat that, go ahead. But, you know, we're finding that they're not using, you know, today's appliances. They're not assimilating and learning how to you know, move into a home and utilize these things. They're still living like they were in Somalia. And I really don't blame them. I can't fault them. We're just bringing them here and kind of saying, okay, here you go. So it's difficult. It's a real difficult thing to take.
Talk about cooking with gas, huh?
Oh, geez. Oh, my God. That is. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I
knew.
I
should have known. Thanks for that, Bang. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Kathy.
How do you get back to a normal subject with that, you know?
We will have to break, definitely.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to talk to you about what the relationship between the MOA, Jamaat al-Fruqa, is with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Okay.
Let's assume if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts and flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times. But take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee. I'm Dave Vance, your host. We're on Conservative Nation Radio, and we have Kathy Henners with us. And the number here is 718-305-7176. Kathy, before the break, we talked a little bit about MOA and the funding and Jamaat al-Fruqa. And what's their relationship to Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, they have one. If you kind of picture the Muslim Brotherhood being the grandfather of all of these terrorist organizations, they are, we'll use that term, umbrella organization. So you've got the Muslim Brotherhood as the main organization in this country. And by the way, they are here in Tennessee large numbers here in Tennessee, Muslim Brotherhood. But then underneath that would come 22 different organizations that fall specifically under the Muslim Brotherhood, is their alliances and is their friends. And then kind of an offshoot of that, you would have your Hamas and Hezbollah. And then so from your Hamas and Hezbollah is where your Jamaat al-Fukra, your Muslims of America, and the Open Quranic University fall. So the big picture would be the Muslim Brotherhood and who their organizations and affiliations are, and who they consider friends. And they all have the same ideology. They all have the same goal. And the goal is to create a global caliphate, which is the one religion, one set of laws, and one government. Kind of sounds like a New World Order type thing. But when you look at all these different organizations, they do have that same goal. Now, Jamaat al-Fukra tends to be more violent. They're more like al-Qaeda. They would prefer to purify Islam through violence. The Muslim Brotherhood tends to be more of a come-up-from-within organization, where they just infiltrate and indoctrinate as they go along. So Jamaat al-Fukra is definitely tied through the funding from Hamas and Hezbollah. They are tied with the Muslim Brotherhood. Like I said before, they're not as active right now in the criminal and terrorist departments, if you will, but they are very active in the paramilitary type training that is going on, because they do believe at some point when the call for action happens in this country and they have to have numbers, that the great jihad will happen, and you will either become a Muslim, you will pay what's called a jizya or a tax to live as a Christian or whatever you are, or you will just be put to death. So, you know, we look at these things as being kind of, oh, that's not happening here, when I can tell you that in the state of Tennessee, these groups are prevalent. They are especially the Muslim Brotherhood. And that caller from Texas, I mean, Texas is also loaded. The whole South is basically loaded. And I guess it was, I had asked why Tennessee. I thought I was coming here to retire. And I asked, you know, why the Muslim Brotherhood is so, you know, so much here. And I was told because it's the buckle of the Bible Belt. If they can transform Tennessee, if they can take Tennessee, if you will, then they can do the rest of the country without a problem. This is the home of country music. This is the home of so many things that they don't believe in, you know, Jack Daniels with alcohol and pork products and things like that. But this is where they've decided the initial battle will be. And we don't see the battle. It's not like a battle on the field. It's coming from within, unfortunately. So very large connection to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Just like I mentioned here in Dover, we haven't had any, you know, incidents that I'm aware of, at least since I've been here, or that I've heard about. And like I say, I think that creates a false sense of security. But what about other places? You mentioned Dearborn. We know that they have enough population in some areas there to be flat out hostile. What are some other places where these compounds are? Have they had issues, or are they doing pretty much? Are they operating pretty much the same way there, not really having a lot of negative contact with the locals?
It is pretty much the same throughout the 36 communities, Dave, only because they can't afford not to. They are winning by playing victim. 9/11 was a big mistake for them, because afterwards people looked at Muslims and the religion of Islam completely different than they had ever before. Most people didn't even know about Islam or Muslims prior to 9/11. So they know that they made a mistake, but they have created this this victim status for themselves that just goes on and on and on. So therefore, they lay low, and instead they've chosen to do what's called dawah, or the proselytizing of Islam. And they are winning in that respect, because they used the religion as a guise to tell you about their culture. Their culture is their religion, and their religion is their political Islam. So it's all one. There is no separation of mosque and church, or state and mosque. It is all one. So that's the frightening part.
Or mosque and school.
That's correct. And the schools, and I'm sure Stewart County is having a problem, just like every other county in this state, with being indoctrinated with the particular groups. One that's really big here in Tennessee is called AMAC, the American Muslim Advisory Council. They're a force to start paying attention to, because they're coming into the schools and they're training the teachers on how to teach about Islam. Well, when you're in a public school, that's not usually the way it goes. So it's very important that people understand that the education system here in this state is filled with indoctrination, connecting cultures, diversity and dialogue. We have the Scarrett Bennett Center here in Nashville. So there's a lot of these organizations that are very pro-Islamist, and they're inviting these agencies in to teach the teachers about how to do this and learn about the culture, when it's not about the culture at all, it's about the religion. And that's what I find disturbing. So they're there. They're in the schools big time.
Now, I haven't heard of them coming into the schools here, but I think here the issue is, just like a lot of the state, the textbooks in general, which they've got an influence. Mm-hmm. Texas and California are the two biggest states that you could kind of say set the tone for the textbooks. Mm-hmm. And any textbook that you look at today, most of them do have that slant. You know, you'll get maybe just a few pages on Christianity, and that'll pretty much focus on the Crusades, and then you'll get all these other pages about how great Islam is. So I know they have that in pretty much all the textbooks, including here in Tennessee. I haven't heard about anything, you know, any interfaith stuff going on at the school. If I hear about it, I'll definitely, make some noise about that. I've still got a kid that, I don't want to infiltrate
it. Yeah,
definitely.
Please let me know in this Common Core, without getting into that. I'm sure most people here in this state know what Common Core is. It's this new curriculum nationwide. Actually, it's a global type curriculum for children. Now, you're no more a citizen of the United States. You're a world citizen is what they're promoting. But the Common Core also does have the Islamist touch to it as well, who they're funded by and who it's being pushed by. So it's something really to pay attention to. Texas had what's called C-Scope. I believe they've defeated it. They've gotten it out of the state, and we need to do the same thing. Common Core is extremely dangerous for kids in school. It's just the dumbing down further of our children. So another thing to look for in our schools.
Yeah, and then you have the Gulen schools as well.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. They're
still
different.
Islamist, but it's
yes, with a different twist, if you will. But that's what's so scary because, there's a part of the Gulen schools who insist that only their teachers can teach. So there was a school, I think it was here in Tennessee that just said it's all Turks. That was all that it would be run by. And no other teachers are able to teach at this particular school. And, you have to kind of look at that and say, well, wait a minute, we have very good educators here. Why are they not allowed in this particular school to instruct? But again, it was a big problem because of, what they were saying that they wanted to do, their curriculum and everything else. So, we're seeing a lot of masjids or mosques or Islamic centers opening up. And my question is, well, why don't they just have Islamist schools? Why don't they teach their children about their religion and let them practice their own Sharia law within their own system? That would be fine, but it's not that simple. It has to be the indoctrination of our youth and our systems that have to change. And that's what I think is scary, and a lot of people don't understand what the Sharia law actually is. So, Bill Warner, you had him on last week. And if you can't believe Bill Warner, then we're all in for a big problem. He's a master. He's brilliant at what he does.
Yeah, he's laid it out. I mean, the proof is just irrefutable for anybody who's willing to listen.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Up against another break here real quick. Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, here on conservativenationradio.org. Listen up and call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B, too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And this is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance on Conservative Nation Radio, brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. And we had Kathy Henders with us. The phone number here is 718-305-7176. We're going to take a break here in a minute. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit. Right now we don't see so many, with the exception of Boston, but for instance here and in Tennessee, we haven't seen any blatantly violent acts by the Islamists, or for the most part. Well, I take that back. No, we had the Bledsoe killing. I forgot all about it.
Yep.
But short of something like that, and before something like that happens, what should law enforcement be looking for? I mean, I would tend to think that most law enforcement professionals, they profile. I mean, if they're looking for a serial killer, what are they looking for?
Right.
It fits a certain pattern normally, a certain demographic, a certain age group, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There are specific profiling. You can't get away from profiling. I believe it's New York City right now, the mayor is trying to get the law changed so that police can no longer put out a description of a person using that they're black or white or with red hair or black hair. It has to be strictly based on a subject's clothing, which is absolutely absurd. So we profile in that when someone commits a crime, if it's a white male that's commit the crime, we say a white male with green eyes or whatever. That's not profiling. That's just telling the way that it is. Law enforcement has their hands tied right now. It's very difficult what's happening to law enforcement with political correctness. So there's a lot of things that they can start looking for, specifically in Dover for the Stewart County guys. It's very difficult, first of all, because if they're higher up, say, stay away from it, which so many states and local government officials say to stay away from that, because really who wants to be, what police department wants to be on the front page saying that they're loaded with bigots and Islamophobes? So it's a political correctness issue that we really need to get rid of because it's killing us. So, there's a lot of things that they can start paying attention to. These compounds are in such areas that it's very hard to surveil them, but they need to start looking at the businesses that are surrounding this. And whether they're not in Dover, but maybe the next town over, they need to start seeing and going into these businesses to start looking for particular things that anybody, not just law enforcement, that anybody can look for that will say, hey, this is a red flag, and we need to notify someone of this red flag. For law enforcement, the first thing to start building a case would, if they're allowed to, would probably be start taking down license plates of who's coming and going from these compounds. Traffic seems to pick up on weekends, and when the Sheikh Jalani does visit his compounds, and he does visit, when he is in, let's say he comes to Dover, traffic in that area picks up. You'll see a lot more Middle Eastern men present. You'll see a lot more Pakistans in their full garb, coming around. So security is heightened again at these communities as well. So that is usually a telltale sign to see the rush of security, if you will.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a break here, but when we get back, there's somebody on the line that wants to thank you. So we'll get back to that in just a second.
Okay, great.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times. But take it from me, I'm a dog. and a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill. If we'd known 10 years ago today would be 10 years from now, would we spend tomorrow's yesterday and make it last somehow? Would be the tears in someone else's game and never learn to play.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio, brought to you by Tennessee Action Council. This is Dave Vance, your host, and we're on the line with Kathy Henners from dailyrollcall.com. Kathy, we had a call a few minutes ago that they didn't have too nice of things to say to you, but we have somebody on the line that wants to actually thank you, and this is Carrie. Carrie,
no, Dave, this is Jerry, your partner here.
Jerry, I'm sorry.
Kathy, this is Jerry Williams. I'm with the Tennessee Action Council. I want to thank you for the great information you've given us, and I hope the people of our state will pay attention to you and Bill Warner. On the upside, attending many events with Bill Warner over the past few years, I've watched the attendance rise from 15 to 20 to well over 100 in some cases. So I guess that's a good sign.
Very good sign, yes. And I'm encouraged by that. I think people are listening. So that's really a good thing.
Yeah, they need to take a stand and let our politicians know that the Constitution is the law of our land, not Sharia, and it never will be.
Yes, and I think that's the only way we can do it, by making these changes. Absolutely.
That's right, absolutely. And I'm also your partner-in-law. I was a cop up in New York for 20 years in Suffolk County.
Hey, oh, gee, Suffolk County. You do talk funnier than I do. The Long Island man, okay.
The Long Island man, you got it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that.
All right, thanks for the great job you're doing. We really appreciate it. And, Dave, you're doing a great job, too. I'll let you guys go. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Call in at 718-305-7176. And, Kathy, we talked a minute ago about there hasn't been, for instance, a lot of violence in Tennessee. There's been some, and, you know, obviously the Bloodstone murder. But and people, I think a lot of times, people judge, their definition of nice doesn't look very deep. I imagine as a cop, you probably investigated a couple murders in your time,
mm-hmm,
correct?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that some cases you weren't surprised that the guy did it or the girl did it. But there's other cases where I'm sure everybody's like, wow, such a nice guy. I just can't believe they would do it.
Yep. And when you
go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, when you look at who's committing these crimes, that is exactly what people are saying. Carlos Bledsoe, I've had a chance to meet his father as well as Andy Long's father that were here. You know, they were both here for the premiere of Losing Our Sons. And to meet him and to understand that his kid was just like every other kid coming up to Nashville to go to school, who was radicalized and who went to Yemen and came back and killed someone. So, yeah, they're nice people. They're normal. They're human beings. And this is what's so difficult to say. We have Muslim Brotherhood members, and specifically in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that we know that the Muslim Brotherhood is there, and we know their names and their faces. But you look at them and you say, there's no way. She's so pretty, or he's so nice. Or, of course, they're human beings, but they have an agenda. They have a goal to reach through their religion. In order to become a good Muslim, they have to perform certain things. And if you're brought up that way, if you're brought up that change, it has to come to every country, of course you're going to believe in this. And it's hard to accept that westernized United States citizens And so many of these Muslims were born here. So, you know, when people say go back to your country, they're in their country. It's very hard to grasp that, but you have to understand what the, you know, what the Quran says they need to do. You know, Bill Warner certainly knows better than anyone what the belief is, but it's such a strong belief in their religion that this is what they're faced with. So, yes, they are nice people, but they have an agenda that is not so nice.
Yeah. And it seems like, okay, if you're well-educated, you speak well, you dress nice, you have nice things, that just basically so many people just, it's cosmetic. Well, they must be nice, you know,
right.
Or they have all these things about them, and so they've got to be nice. They couldn't have any sinister motives at all. And I think that's, you know, really, and if you look in Tennessee, you know, there's a lot of doctors. There's a lot of Muslim Brotherhood doctors in Tennessee, including Samar Ali's father. I can't recall his name. And so people, you know, I think the professional community, we'll call them our elites, I think maybe they're some of the hardest ones to convince that these people who they know and have served on in these, you know, with these professional organizations, they can't wrap it around their head, because when you say they're an Islamist terrorist or they're involved with it, I think they immediately, the picture they get in their head is some Taliban guy with a bomb.
Right.
And that's not
exactly
what we're saying.
It. No. You know, you look at Nadel Hassan. He was a doctor. He was a psychiatrist from Fort Hood. And, I mean, he's a prime example that at one of his last conferences, instead of giving a presentation on what they were talking about, being a psychiatrist and different problems within their, you know, their entity, he went off into a religious tirade. So there were red flags there that no one paid attention to. But you're right. I mean, they're professionals. They aren't your scrubs. They aren't typical thugs that we're used to seeing. But if they were in Nashville or in Clarksville or in Dover with tanks and bombs and guns, we'd be out there in a minute to defend ourselves. But they're smarter than that. They're coming from within like they said they would. And they're coming up through the ground, if you will. And instead of stomping this weed out, we're nurturing it and letting it grow, and it's strangling us. So this is very much a problem for us until we recognize it, or for those that don't recognize it, need to recognize it very soon.
Yeah, they're very well camouflaged. War is deceit, and they're masters of Takiya. I've got a call on the line that I'm going to take. And then we'll come back to you right before we close
out.
Okay. Hello, Barbara.
Hello. How is everybody?
Good.
Great show.
Doing fine.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The weeds. They're strangling us. But I'm, quite frankly, I'm just as sick and tired of it as everybody else. And I'm tired of the wiretapping. So what we're doing tomorrow for Women Patriots, you can catch us here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and we are going to have Publius Holder on our show. She's lives down in your area, down in Tennessee, and we are going to go over mostly the Fourth Amendment, and, you know, she's going to tell it like it is, as she usually does. I love this woman, and I don't know if you all have heard her speak. She is awesome. She tells it like it is, and she knows her stuff.
She's a retired JAG lawyer, and she came over to a little party we had at my house here at one time, and Kurt was there, and we had a great time. But she's very knowledgeable.
She's coming to North Carolina in October.
Oh, well, good for you. Good for you.
So she's going to be our special guest tomorrow, so catch us here at, we're Women Patriots, me and Brenda Ward. Brenda's the host, I'm the co-host, and Publius will keep us all informed on all the illegal information that is coming out of this White House. So join us right here on www.conservativenationradio.org.
Thanks.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. It'll be a great show.
Kathy. Kathy, yeah, I bet from Kathy, I bet being Barbara's from North Carolina, you couldn't tell she's from Long Island, right?
You know what? As soon as she said awesome, I said she's not from down here. She should have said coffee, because then I would have known for sure that she wasn't from down here.
Hey, we're down to about a minute left. We've got a minute left, and I got one last question for you, Kathy.
Yes.
In your opinion, what is the most important thing to remember in this fight with the Islamists, whether directed towards the general public or law enforcement?
They are patient people. They have goals, and they are doing exactly what they said that they would do. Look at the Muslim Brotherhood document. It's on my website under documents. It's the manifesto. Read it. Understand this is their playbook. It was put in evidence. So it is not just some document that came out of somebody's basement. It has it has evidentiary value to it, and it tells their plan for North America. It is called the Strategic Goal for North America. So as a patient people, they are using our very freedoms against us. And for law enforcement, I hope to be back on to say specifically what they need to start looking for, as well as the citizens, you know, in this state, what to start looking for red flags.
Hey, we're out of time. We're out of time. Thanks for coming on, and we will definitely have you back.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for everybody
Thank you, Kathy.
For listening in. This
thanks, Bing.
Signing off from Inside Tennessee.